Welcome to The Last Damn Word with Angbin,
Nicole,
and Claudia.
This week, we're going to talk about all the shit that went down in March.
We are recording this at the end of the month, and it feels like it's been
so long.
Like a year since the Oprah interview.
Before we started recording, I literally had to like look at the date, 7th March, because it just felt so fake.
Time is not real.
It is not. I could have sworn that was in February.
Yeah.
Now, we're assuming that most of you have already watched the Oprah interview. Because, I mean, who hasn't at this point, at least? By the end of the month. And we have some things to say.
Now that it's happened, like, almost a month ago, my strong opinions have kind of subsided. I mean, they're just a bunch of rich people.
No, yeah, I get what you mean.
So it's like, at first I was like, shocked and sad for Megan, but after seeing like feeling bad for him, and then some people were saying that he shouldn't feel bad for him.
Yeah, honestly, my takeaway from the interview was that I felt bad for her and her only
when she was talking about having very sad suicidal thoughts.
I think this isn't to diminish the racism and like the horrible treatment that Megan endured, because like that is on all of the perpetrators of this.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that I think is just funny to me now is that, like, she talks about in the interview not knowing how bad it would be.
Mm.
And not truly understanding what it means to be a royal, like, not doing any research. Yeah. Which to me is still, like, a month on is still fucking weird.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, would you not do any research on your fiancé?
Come on, who has not Googled a person?
Yeah, or heard of the royal family, or anyone in
I know people were making arguments about how, like, when she started, like, going on dates with Harry, she wouldn't know who he was. And people were like, yeah, that's normal, why would you Google your date or whatever? But the difference is, you both are celebrities, and you both are, like, literally public figures. Why wouldn't you
Google people before going on dates with them?
True.
I Google random normal people before going on a date with them.
That says a lot about you.
I'm just saying. Like, I don't think it's that weird to want to know.
But then not to conspire or anything, but part of me feels like maybe she said that just to get all the people that are like, she's a gold digger off her ass, you know?
That's true, yeah.
Because if she's gonna say, like, oh yeah, I didn't really know who he was or anything about him, his family, or his, like, wealth or influence, then that will kind of get the sort of people off her back, because I feel like the media, that's the main reason they used against her.
Yeah. That's true.
Like, oh, she had nothing before this, now she has everything, thanks to Harry and the royal family. Yeah, the emphasis was pretty much on that. So maybe a part of it was just trying to get those kind of people off her back.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Which, I mean, if I was in her position, I'd say the same, honestly.
I think they're like, pros and cons to saying that, because obviously the pros, you just stated. The cons would be there are a lot of, like, holes. Like, why wouldn't you Google this person, you know?
Yeah, true.
But from a PR standpoint, that would be the best thing for her to say.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, the interview was, like, really insightful and stuff like that, but it ultimately was just a PR move.
Yeah, it's important to, like, be able to sympathize with her and, like, understand where she's coming from and be critical of the monarchy for, like, 100 different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But Harry is taking Silicon Valley job.
No, literally.
She's still going to be an actress. Yeah. Like, they're going to be okay.
There was one part in the interview where Oprah kind of hounded him. And for good reason. Really, I forgot what the question was, but I think he was, like, implying that, like, he didn't...
He was implying that he was kind of being, like, silenced, and he didn't really know...
Were you silent?
But yeah, he was just kind of implying he had no free will anything, or a say in this situation. Where, I mean, your grandma is the queen. Like, the most high up you can go in the royal family. Yeah.
But I think that, again, him saying that was just a PR move, because maybe he was being silenced. But the way that Oprah was really hounding him was, like, deserved, but also it was so tense. I literally felt awkward, like, watching that. I was like, maybe I want to turn this off. I can't take the secondhand embarrassment I'm feeling right now.
He was a bit dumbfounded, honestly.
Yeah, he was like, wait, did we practice this in the practice interview?
Yeah.
I want to point out one thing. The thing that stood out to me the most out of this entire situation, just outside of the interview, Prince, is it William? His brother? Implying, saying something along the lines of, like, the royal family is not racist.
Yeah.
I think that is the funniest thing that could have come out of this situation.
Like, the monarchy. Queen, who is still the head of the Commonwealth, is not racist.
Racist people claim they're not racist. Pretends to be shocked.
Saw Harry marry this, like, really light-skinned woman.
Yeah.
And they were still like, oh my god, what if the children... What if the children appear dark-skinned? Oh no! Monarchy!
Did they reveal who was, like, saying that?
Nah, they didn't.
They didn't reveal, but I feel like it's probably his immediate family, so, like, probably his...
Yeah, someone was saying that,
it's
like...
Kate.
Definitely his dad. Definitely Kate.
For me, like, when I think about Kate Middleton, I immediately think of, like, that headline of her.
Which one?
Which Pippa Middleton's buoyant bum.
I don't think I've seen that. You're gonna have to tell me.
Wait, why do you remember this?
I show you.
I think this is more shocking than the actual headline. The fact that you remember this.
When I show you this picture, wait, hold on, let me pull this up.
While we're waiting, can I just say she's a very weird woman.
Kate Middleton?
Yeah, she's very weird.
How? I actually don't keep up with. Surprisingly, just, and at my own detriment, I don't keep up
the
royal
family.
Because this
she's just
is
very
the bomb.
Scheming. Oh.
Oh. Okay. For clearly, because this is a podcast, you can't see what we're looking at. But it's a picture of Kate. Wait, Pippa is a
her sister. Yes.
Her sister. The headline implies that she has a buoyant bum. There's no
buoyancy.
There is nothing to be seen. I mean, maybe she does have a bum, but not in that dress. Maybe.
This is something that took over the sun, this conversation about her bum. Which, like, there's a lot to be said the about sun. How the media objectifies women. Mm. But also, like, what the hell is this?
Pippa, you know, I don't know why I thought Kate was Pippa. Is that how you pronounce her name? I feel like I can't say that name without having a fake English accent.
But yeah, as I was saying, Kate is just a weird woman. In the interview, I don't know if you guys caught on, but Meghan said that, like, Kate made Meghan cry, but Kate then went to the media and said Meghan made her cry. Which is, and then people were very surprised that, because they were like, oh, I didn't realise Kate Middleton was, like, scheming. But ever since the start, I mean, it was always known that she kind of excluded her family as soon as she met William, because they live in a council estate and she didn't want to be associated with people of that class.
Yeah.
But she was saying it's because they wanted to sell stories about her to the media.
Yeah.
So she cut off her whole family completely as soon as she married William. And people are surprised she's scheming.
I don't know where she got this angelic image from. I mean, probably because she's a white woman.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember watching this movie on Polish TV, which is about how William and Kate met in university. And it put her in such a good light that I was very surprised how they were able to make such a character out of her.
Mm.
Like, such an angelic, light-hearted, like, lofty character. It's just...
Which you need?
It was... Wasn't it St. Andrews in Scotland?
LSE?
Not you doxing us.
Obviously, I don't think any of us ever trusted. But I don't know how I feel about the Queen. Because obviously I'm not gonna put all my trust into what Harry says, but Harry's like, oh, she's like amazing, I love her. About the Queen.
Hey bestie.
Me to my grandma, hey bestie. Everyone else is saying that the Queen is evil, and obviously I think she is a bit. But also I feel like because Harry's on Meghan's side, I have to have, like, some sort of, like, trust, even a little bit of trust in him about what he's saying.
Yeah. Considering he is willing to walk away from the rest of his family and still the monarchy. Like, again, like, he's still a white man. He still may not be entirely sensitive to the very, like, different ways that racism operates.
Yeah.
Maybe he just hasn't picked up on some things.
Yeah.
I don't know. Undecided opinion on the Queen.
Same. I will be thinking of Prince Philip. In a very negative way.
That's right.
That's right. Are we allowed to say this? I don't want to be like sued or something.
Piers Morgan. I'm so glad that little man baby just stormed off.
First of all, don't insult babies.
I hate him.
Men, you can insult men, but
men. That little man.
Did you guys see the interviews in which he was talking about going on a date with Meghan, but that was actually a work meeting?
I know, that was like...
That was so creepy.
Yeah.
Very weird. There's like 4 interviews of him saying like, oh, we went for a drink, it was so nice, then she never answered my calls, and I was the reason she met Harry and stuff like that.
Okay, not an ugly shame. But have you seen yourself?
No, honestly. Piers,
have you seen yourself in the mirror? And Meghan.
You are so much older than her, first of all. Like,
and you're married.
I was going to say I feel sorry for his wife. You can cut this out. I was going to say I feel sorry for his wife, but I don't.
Nah, I don't feel sorry for her.
Yeah. Wife. I mean, it takes a lot to be married to stay to together. That. Yeah.
Exactly. Like, I would say you would have to...
Deserve.
Like, strongly agree with his opinions to be married to him after he has been... scorned by like every single person on every side of the political spectrum.
Literally.
Like, who the fuck likes him anymore? It's so depressing to think about how this is the media landscape in the UK, because it's not like media doesn't have problems in like 100 other countries. It's not like, you know, public discourse isn't super messed up in the US, or even other European countries that are increasingly going towards fascism. They aren't fascist already. But I just think that the British media likes to create problems that don't exist to whip up a moral frenzy so much more. Like this shit, the stuff with trans people, the trans people are taking over your bathrooms. Like, is this the best we have to offer? This little stunt where he walks out.
Does he have work now?
I have no idea what he's doing now.
I never knew what he actually does, except for loud and wrong.
And I know, like, before, I think when the Meghan thing was happening, there was also a clip of him, like, straight up, like, slut-shaming a lady for, like, I think his co-worker.
Yeah.
Wearing a dress.
I saw that. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's sick.
And honestly, the people just let him say those things.
That's fucked up.
And the thing is, it's not like as if, like, these things just happened out of nowhere. He's always been this evil... vile man, and we are not one of y'all, but the people just let him stay on TV and let him get all these jobs.
But yeah, like, I remember he said something, I don't know, I think he was like being really critical of the government and how it handled the crisis, and a lot of people were like, yeah, you're right, Piers. And I was just like, okay, so we're going to let everything else he said in his entire life slide.
Mm.
Yeah.
Because the government has to screw up this badly before he takes a strong stance against it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these are the lengths that it has to get to for him to be like, well, I never.
I think that logic can also be applied to a lot of different, like, just public figures.
While we're on the topic of racism, there has been so much YouTuber drama going on.
2 or 3 days ago, this YouTuber called Keemstar, what is he? Is he also a podcast?
Let's not taint the name of podcasters. He is a drama channel.
He's
also, I guess you could describe him as paparazzi, because all he does is report from other people's business. But he is very, 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 very problematic. He just does shit just to get his name, just to make himself relevant.
Yeah, because I recall him, this guy called Keemstar, and Ethan were fighting with K-pop stars one time.
Yeah.
Like last year at some point. I can't remember what it was over.
Probably BTS, because I remember Ethan saying something very, very, very racist about BTS. Yeah, and also very, I guess transphobic, because they were, I think he implied that they were like women or something.
Oh, yeah, because fuck off. They wear makeup.
Yeah. Oh, that is a whole
Does
thing.
This guy know that every single male actor he watches wears makeup?
Yeah, probably.
It's gay because they sing and dance.
Has a pea brain. But yes, anyway, adding on to that, he's continuing this whatever feud he has with a bunch of K-pop icons on Twitter for God knows whatever reason. And he posted a diss track 4 K-pop stars just randomly out of nowhere. Bear in mind, this is about 4 months after his first feud with them on Twitter.
This is whatever. A grown man.
Yep. This is a grown man fighting with, like, 16-year-olds or whatever. And in the diss track, I guess he was borderline racist because he was mentioning random, like, K-pop idol names and putting pictures of different, not the actual idol he's mentioning.
Yeah.
In the video.
So because so, like, basically all Asian, all Eastern Asian people look the same to him. Yeah,
apparently.
We all say Ching Chong.
God.
So basically he, like, used, like, BTS's names, but used different people's pictures.
Mm.
So he mentioned, like, Jungkook, Jimin or something, but included someone else's pictures. Mm-hmm.
Wow! Mm-hmm.
Which is, you know.
Yeah. At least do your fucking research.
Yeah. But to be fair, I think he probably did it to piss people off.
Probably, yeah. But that's... You can go about that a different way.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is too far. And then he also included... He used suicides and just general mental health, idols' mental health in K-pop as a, like...
It's a diss.
Diss at K-pop stands, being like, oh, they're owned by the industry, whatever. And then he just randomly, in between all that, inserted pictures from SHINee Jongin's funeral from 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the main thing people are mad at, because of course you can have beef with whatever fandom you want or whatever, but using someone's death as a way to make a point which you didn't even make is, yeah, so being racist and also doing that.
He has no human decency left in him.
No morals, genuinely. No anything.
And all of this for beef, and all of this for relevancy. Who are you dissing? A bunch of, like, literally minors on Twitter, and you think this is a serve? You are a grown man. I mean, this can be applied to any drama channel, any racist.
Mm.
But, like, you are literally grown, and you are picking fights with K-pop stans as if they are one whole mass of people that, like, think they're exactly the same.
Yeah.
It's just like, please get a real job. I'm sorry, I'm serious. Please get a real job. And it's just, I mean, fuck him. So I really knew this. Fuck him.
It's just, I'm not going to touch on this too much because this is a sensitive topic. But all of this happening, like, in the backdrop with everything that's happened for Asian people, come on.
Yeah.
Read the room.
Exactly.
There's one thing he doesn't know how to do is read the room.
The fact that nothing even happened, like, on Twitter again with him and K-pop stans, it was just dropped randomly.
Yeah.
So weird.
We need... to start normalizing. No, what's the opposite of normalizing?
We need to criminalize
diss tracks. No more diss tracks. I don't fucking care about the beef that you have. Go and beat someone else in the boxing ring that you are.
Boxing?
No, literally, like, Jake Paul and, like, whoever the fuck. Like, please, just stop fucking releasing diss tracks because no one fucking cares about. And also, the bars that you guys have. They're not bars.
Non-existent.
You're just speaking into a mic, like us.
You are not the Kanye you think
no,
you are.
No, literally. Enough. Okay, can you please stop with the distracts? Oh my. Continuing on from our YouTube rant.
Oh my god.
Completely unrelated to the royal family. But I feel like if you've been keeping up the David Dobrik thing, there's also been mention of Trisha Paytas.
Yeah.
And then they were like, people were like, oh my god, Trisha was right in the whole... sexual harassment allegations and stuff like that. And they were like, oh, maybe we should stand. People need to understand that, you know, you can be wrong about a million things and be right about one thing, and that still doesn't make you a good person.
Yeah, exactly.
David Dobrik has the Vlog Squad. They're really obnoxious, rich people who do stupid things for videos. Apparently, they have an audience for I don't know why. that is not me. I'm not your target audience. I'm not interested in your little flexing things that you do. But apparently, they have a very young audience.
Also, isn't Trisha Paytas, like, really obsessed with Jewish people in a really...
She's obsessed with every single religion, every single race. She's offended every single person out there, like, quite literally.
I mean...
But yeah, she's always just been this, like, problematic figure, and she thrives off of her scandals, I guess, is the best way to put it. She's had drama with every single person out there. She even has drama with Charli D'Amelio from TikTok, and she's like... 16 years old.
Yeah, literally.
That's sick. Yeah, so she always inserts herself everywhere to keep her name relevant, and that's pretty much about as much as she does. And she has a podcast with Ethan something. I don't know his name. Yeah.
I don't want to... Yeah. We should not get into it.
Another episode.
But safe to say, I personally do not like them. I don't think any of you like them. But he said very, he has said very problematic things before. Mm. Surprise! No one's surprised. And they actively give Trisha a platform. Where they, honestly, a lot of the episodes, they have been, like, recorded to be, like, fighting and stuff. Like, arguing on camera, and that's, like, that gets views. And it's just, like...
That's so boring. Like, can I just say, who is genuinely interested in this? Like, who does this... I mean, clearly it appeals to people, because they're such big names, but I don't understand.
I don't understand. We are not your target audience, honestly.
Thank God.
But yeah, with the David Dobrik thing, I mean, moving on from Trisha, I just think it's really, I never liked him to begin with, so I think I'm biased in that sense. But also, I don't understand how people ever gave him the angelic image.
Wait, so... For context, like, what happened with David Dobrik?
Well, it all started with this one person from the Vlog Squad called Big Nick coming out and exposing him for, like, allowing people to body shame him, make bad comments about him, etc. And, like, also allow borderline racist comments to be made and stuff. But the racist comments was this other guy called Seth that was also in the Vlog Squad, and they were kicked out. Because they weren't comfortable with jokes, can you please stop making them and putting them in your vlogs, because fans come up to us on the street and make the same jokes, you know? So it's going, like, outside of the videos and becoming something more. So they had a problem with that, they told him that, and he was like, okay, we'll stop making them, I'll cut all these things out or whatever. But what he actually did is gave them less and less screen time because they weren't comfortable doing these bits, what he calls bits, for the vlogs. And then they came out against him. And it was left at that for like a good 2 weeks. And then more came out about him, which was that insider article exposing that the whole Vlog Squad basically enabled for a girl to be sexually assaulted and raped in David Dobrik's home. And he knew about this because this video was his idea. And it happened in his home. He filmed it. He edited it. He posted it. He told people to go buy alcohol for them to loosen them up.
Yep.
Oh, man.
And, yeah, that's basically the main thing that's happening right now. Mm-hmm. And he didn't really address this at first. He posted, like, a two-minute video disabling comments, disabling likes, the dislikes.
I like how the video was saying something about... I think the title was, "We Need to Talk."
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then the comments were turned off.
Exactly, exactly. Oh. And then he posted it on the channel that no one knows.
Yeah.
And basically his friend that sexually assaulted the girl is his friend from school.
Oh my god.
He's always known that he's had allegations and girls come out against him, but he still left him in vlogs, but he claimed that he distanced himself from him in 2019, but it's not true because he was posting with him in February.
Yeah.
And like December or November or something like that.
Yeah.
And yeah, his friend called... He calls himself Dirty Dong, whatever.
Oh my god. Yeah. No.
He's had multiple allegations about him in the past, and there's a girl coming out being like, he invited me to his house, being like, if you come back with me, you'll get to meet David. And then obviously they never met David, but he did try to do stuff with them. And that's basically the whole premise of things. And he knew all these things were going on, but he didn't do anything about them. And in the vlog, there's, like, actual video proof of this happening to the girls.
Yeah, in the video, they were, like... I saw the clip. It was basically, you know, the part where you mentioned that one of them had to go get drinks for these underage girls? And then they were, like, saying... He was saying something along the lines of, like, after some loosening up and some negotiations.
Yeah, he said...
Then after that, the video cuts to, like, I think the guy, Dom, and the two girls entering a room with him.
Yeah.
And then they were just filming it, which is a very weird... First of all, whether or not sexual harassment occurred at that period of time, I think it's very, very weird for you to make that content. At least for... Like, even I, as a grown person, I feel uncomfortable watching that. Maybe that's just me. But this is content literally made for preteens.
Yeah.
Preteens are watching your show, and then you are bragging about how your friend's about to have a threesome. Especially one that's not really consented to.
Yeah. You like, know? My little brother and my little sister were, like, 14 and, 13, I think? No, who David Dobrik is.
Yeah.
They watch some of his... They don't like him, I think, because they have taste. They have taste. They have standards. But you get what I mean. Like, this is a part of their world. There's so many ways in which YouTube stars are... Part of me is just like, do you literally not know better in 2021?
Yeah.
Mm. Do you not know that these things are not... Like, we are not living in the age where women would just hide these things.
Mm-hmm.
And gourd. Like, you should be scared and you should change your behavior. I mean, I'm just so over, like, YouTube drama.
Oh, wait, for context, the video was from 2018. It was still up till it got brought up back again this year.
That's pretty recent. You can't even say that was, like, 10 years ago.
Like, all the people from the law school that were defending him, like, Jeff, etc., they were basically, like... But the girls replied to a story saying that they basically, back then, before that video occurred, they posted a story saying, oh, who's down to have a threesome or fivesome with my friend Dom, or whatever, someone from the law school posted that, and one of the girls replied to that, be like, oh, can me and my friends come over, because they were fans. They didn't want to have a threesome, just because they replied to the story.
Yeah.
But they were trying to use that against them, being like, but they came over knowing that's what it was for or something.
But that doesn't mean you assault them.
Yeah, and film it, and then even, like, film you, every single member, pretty much, peeking into the room, and then recording the guy that assaulted this girl after being, like, all sweaty and stuff. As if that's supposed to be, like, comedic effect or something.
I don't know, maybe I'm just being like, am I being approved for saying that this sort of content shouldn't even be shown to kids, especially on YouTube?
And the fact that no one knew about the existence of this video because all his audience is that young.
Yeah. And they just kind of thought, oh, this is like, oh, I want to live that life.
This is just what, I don't know, famous people men do.
Yeah. And I just can't get over how people let David Dobrik, his whole gang, have this, I don't know, sort of angelic image. Like, you put these men, this grown men, in a house together, and you expect something good to come out of it, and you expect, like, no scandals come out. Like, these people are just... I mean, the fact that there was news about this, I mean, it was, like, maybe 2 years ago, about this guy called Brandon dating an underage girl, and he was literally... They were admitting to it on camera, and they literally slept together. So it's just, like... And you guys just kind of, like... I don't know, did people just forget about it or something?
Since we're talking about sexual assault, I think this would be a good time to sort of bring up one of the reviews that we're going to be talking about for this episode, which is Promising Young Woman, starring Gary Mulligan, directed by Emerald Fennell, also known as the hot lady from Call the Midwife, and Camilla Parker Bowles from The Crown.
Okay.
So, I think this is, like, her first movie. The first movie that she's, like, directed. I'm not sure, though. But, oh my god.
What is the... I think I vaguely know the synopsis, but can you remind me?
Okay. So, be mindful that there will be spoilers.
Okay, so skip.
Basically, the movie is about Cassandra, Cassie, this, like, this med school dropout who's, like, living at home with her parents, is, like, working at a coffee shop. And, like, she drops out after her friend Nina is raped by this guy in their, like, med school batch. And, like, she's raped and a bunch of his friends were, like, watching.
Oh my God.
Like, in front of a ton of people. And, like, the school didn't take it seriously. You know, the guy who did it, Al, he got a lawyer to sort of intimidate her into dropping the case. And, you know, eventually she killed herself. Because no one was taking it seriously. She did, like, dirt, really.
Yeah.
And what Cassie starts doing is that she starts frequenting, like, bars and clubs and things like that late at night. She pretends to be drunk. And then, you know, when some guy sort of tries to take her back to his place and, like, tries to rape her, she'll just sit up and be like, I'm completely sober. What are you doing? And this is sort of like her revenge, in a sense. trying to do this, going after the guy who you know, is responsible for her best friend's death. And I just think that there's so many layers to that movie. Like, in the first 10 minutes of it, I could not predict a single thing that would happen in a really good way. Like, there were so many twists, and the way that, like, the story sort of unraveled was so interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of, like, my favorite things about it is, like, there's the sort of artistic choices
mm-hmm.
that were made during it. Like, we see Cassandra, and she has, like, a really femme aesthetic. She, you know, has long blonde hair. She'll wear, like, a plait or, like, open.
Mm-hmm.
She's wearing, like, you know, there's this one shot of her in the coffee shop where she's, like, wearing a white shirt with, like, cherries
mm-hmm.
on it. The first, like, shot in the movie, like, the opening sequence is it literally has Charlie's boys playing, while a bunch of men are, like, seen dancing in a club.
Mm.
Like, it's just so funny, and it's so smart. And it's a bit of, it sort of, in some ways, reminds me of I May Destroy You. But
mm.
I think I May Destroy You, in some ways, was, like, I think they're both doing different things. This isn't, like, a judgment on Promising Young Woman, because it's meant to be, like, a dark comedy
mm.
thriller thing. And it does that really well. But I May Destroy You, I think, in some ways, is more of a healing and affirming experience.
Mm.
Because of how Arabella becomes better and copes and, like,
mm.
grows
mm-hmm.
over the course of the series. I think with Promising Young Woman, Cassandra just wants... I don't think she wants to live.
Mm.
I think, like, the awareness of the fact that she has so little agency, and that men will, you know, she's seen to date, like, this guy who's a really nice man. Like, he used to be in her old med school, and, like, she feels really happy. And then she finds the tape of Nina being raped
mm.
because that was being circulated.
Mm.
And she sees that guy was just standing and watching. He was one of the men who were just standing and watching. And that's the thing with, like, the men that we're friends with, the
mm-hmm.
men that we date, the men who are, like, our brothers and fathers and cousins, like, we can never trust them. And I think that sort of awareness that there is no one that you can trust, there is
mm-hmm.
no point in which you're going to feel safe, it's such a heavy thing to
yeah.
sit with. That, like, I understand why she was, you know, like, she was being super reckless. She never considered the fact that those men who would take her home, even if she was sober, could hurt her.
Mm-hmm.
She never considers that Al could hurt her when she tried to take him down. And, you know, ultimately, she dies. But, you know, like, I think she doesn't feel like there's anything left to live for. Which I understand.
Mm.
I think that's what makes it so powerful. The fact that you completely get it. And I think watching that, like, weeks after the protests for Sarah Everard and the entire situation in the UK, it was both sad and affirming in the weirdest way. So yeah, I do not think that it's out legally in the UK. But I think it's supposed to be out on 16th April on Sky.
Hey, plug.
Okay. Plug. So, you know, please stream. It's amazing. It's
mm.
it's. I really hope Emerald Fennell makes more movies like this.
Okay, rate it on a scale of 1 to 10.
8.
This is your new letterbox.
Okay.
We will be tuning in.
Moving on to our music reviews.
Recently, Justin Bieber released another album after terrorizing us with the last album, which was just one song over and over
what
again.
What song was it?
His last album, Changes, was literally just the same song over and over again. They all started the same kind of instrumental.
Hold on, when was Yummy released?
February last year.
Well, it feels like 2 years ago.
He's released another album called Justice. And actually, pretty good. Some songs are really good. And I would like to shout out one of them called...
Hey!
Oh yes, Off My Face by Justin Bieber. I think
Off
everyone should listen to that, yes.
Okay.
A very cute love song. Hayley finally made him produce something good.
Are these two together?
Thankful.
Yeah.
They're married, aren't they?
I know, but, like, when they got married, there were, like, things about, like, oh, our marriage sucks. We are fighting every day. And then everyone just assumed that they would get a divorce.
I watched his documentary and she was in it a lot, and it was kind of a bit one-sided because she was taking a lot of care of him and then he wasn't really giving her much attention.
Or being,
men.
Yeah, or being entirely nice back, but...
Mm.
But yes, anyway, quite a solid album, I'd say. That's he has a lot of features on it, which was... He also has an MLK interlude, which
oh
I
oh my god, I know about...
when I saw that, I was a bit like...
Can't have an album, right? Can't have an album titled Justice without the MLK interlude.
It's so weird that he chooses to open... Like, I liked some of the songs from it. Like, I like Peaches.
Yeah, it's a very good song.
It's not amazing, but, like, it's a lot better than his more recent work.
Definitely.
When I heard about the MLK thing, I was just like, listen, you are a white man doing this.
Yeah.
Treating, like, MLK like an aesthetic. What exactly are you doing for black rights to justify any of this?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm sorry, what? I think that the Beliebers and the K-pop stans are going to come for us at some point or the other.
I'm one of you.
Oh yeah,
This is a perfect segue into Angreen's new obsession of the month. And hopefully for the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. And hopefully for the rest of your youth.
For the rest of my life. I love 17. I love 17 so much.
Say it.
I have been listening to a lot of music by the K-pop band 17. As someone who, like, I enjoy some K-pop, but I've never been, like, really, really into a group.
Mm-hmm.
And I can feel myself slipping into stardom. And it's really weird. Like, I have been listening to them regularly for maybe, like, a week or two. And I know more than half of the members' names.
I mean, for context, there are 13 members.
And their sun signs.
That's even more... I think they're more insane than remembering their names.
And so I have favourites now. Okay. I have favourites.
Let's hear them.
Hear them. Let's go. Number one.
Mingyu is my house husband. He is my himbo... My himbo housewife.
Mm-hmm.
I love that
for you.
Mm-hmm.
I love Hoshi.
Mm-hmm.
I love Wano.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I love Joshua.
Hey,
me and Nicole.
We are competing for Joshua. No one listening to this, unless they know who 17 are, they will not know any of these people they were talking about. But just in case 17 are listening, we are in
just
love with you.
Why would they be listening?
I am manifesting something for us right now.
When you DM the Spotify link to Joshua on Instagram.
Hey guys, can you just DM 17's official Instagram? Send them the link to this podcast. Really appreciate it.
Do us a solid here, please.
And also, Claudia is not exempt from this 17 love.
Definitely.
I mean, I got you into 17 like a few months.
Yeah, definitely. You're like, oh, you should watch their show since you know their songs.
And no, Nicole is entirely responsible for this.
Basically, I'm evil.
She's a 17 representative.
I am. And yet, Joshua has yet to contact me for my compensation.
But do you know what? Like, I genuinely really enjoy K-pop. And I am so tired of... Like, this is something I talk about all the time. But I hate the entire conversation that starts with the K-pop industry. Like, oh, it's so unethical. Mm. They're treated horribly. Mm.
They're all this made in a factory. And they're all just
so commodified. Like, are you telling me that your pop stars are not manufactured? Like, the term industry plant is an actual thing in the Western world. Like, do you genuinely believe that this doesn't happen here, or that, like, pop stars don't have tons of surveillance, aren't treated like shit? Like, it wasn't so long ago when the paparazzi, I mean, it still is pretty bad, but, like, the paparazzi in the Western world has ruined so many lives.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you guys will talk about Free Britney to death, but can we talk about the fact that she's been under a conservatorship for decades now? Like, I'm not saying that the K-pop music industry is, you know, inherently moral and like, mm-hmm. you know, they don't do anything bad just mm-hmm. because, oh, what about the West? But I'm just saying that mm-hmm. like these problems exist worldwide in many ways. Like, listen, take it up with capitalism.
So true.
Yeah, so true.
So true. Marx did not consider K-pop photo cards.
Oh my god, let's not. Because every time I think about how much money is...
Oh
god.
That's going to be you.
Just now. But yeah, anyway, adding on to the Western industry thing, I feel like it is literally, quite literally the same. Every single industry is
mm-hmm.
in music.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like it's just not really talked about because all these people, all the higher-ups, etc., they're all very powerful. They have a lot of money
mm-hmm.
and they have the power to control literally everything.
Mm-hmm.
So people don't write about them or speak about them. Like,
mm-hmm.
for example, I don't know if you guys know Fifth Harmony. Like, random example, but...
We don't know them.
They came up with a lot of stuff about the label and what they were doing to them and how mm-hmm. they were controlling them. And
mm-hmm.
they were telling them to be a certain way and... They were telling one of the members, Dinah, who was, like, Polynesian or whatever, to sing more, like,
mm.
to sing differently so she fits pop, you know?
The yeah. whole thing with Taylor Swift and her record label.
Yeah.
How she doesn't own any of her earlier music.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly, you see. So every single one of these artists is controlled. It doesn't matter where in the world they sing or in what language.
You know, all these people who clearly are not well-versed in like the K-pop mm. industry, and that's not to say I'm super well versed in it. I am still in it and I actively participate in it, but I want to or not. But I am stuck here against my will. But I think there's something to be said about how, you know, people, they very easily jump to all these conclusions about how K-pop is commodified and they're all the same and they're all being mistreated, which is true. But it's also very easy for them to criticize the K-pop industry because, first of all, a lot of them, these people saying these things, they do not speak Korean, they do not live in Korea, they are not in any sort of contact with Korean people, and they don't live in Korean society. And it's just very easy to be like, oh, look at these, like, Asian people, this Asian mm-hmm. industry, and they're so, like, robotic, you know.
Yeah.
And it's very easy for them to be, you know, xenophobic and racist, but, you know, they think they're justified in doing that because they are calling out a very toxic industry. And then, like, the point that you stated on Bean, it's just, like, look, why don't you look at yourself first? Why don't you look in the mirror? So I think there's something to be said about all these people writing think pieces about how K-pop yeah. is evil.
It's so dire now. Oh, like, come on.
The music industry in general is evil. Come on.
Yeah.
Every single person out there is forcing an image upon them, whether they like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. if they have a semi-good label or understanding management, they're able to produce their own image with time, like Ariana
mm-hmm.
Grande.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in the beginning of her career, she was forced to be this kind of, like, always happy, giggly, smiley, whatever.
Is it her on Victorious?
Oh my god, let's not talk about Victorious.
And then they kind of made her be like that in the beginning of her career as mm-hmm. well.
She's a baby.
So she will be relatable to all the, like, young people mm-hmm. that then will consume her music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But now her image is much more mature because she has control of it. And mm-hmm. she's mentioned that several times. Like,
mm-hmm.
oh, I'm so happy I get to decide the sound of my album.
Mm-hmm.
I get to decide my image. I get to decide what I want to promote, what I want to
mm-hmm.
share mm-hmm. with everyone, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that is our conversation for the week.
Everyone, please tune in to 17.
And wish Lisa a very belated happy birthday from Blackpink. Everybody.
Also, wish Mingyu and Angbin a happy birthday on
6th April.
Birthdays now. Okay.
Thanks for listening.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.